Tonight, I'd like to continue our reflecting on the work of Dogen that we've been working on, this Sangha, and we'll continue to work on throughout the whole period. And I think there are some people here who haven't had a chance to read it. So I'd like to start by reading the first couple of paragraphs. And if you'd like, you can reach under your mat and you'll see Bodhisattva's Four Methods of Guidance. If you need to read along. And all of the talks we've been giving have been related to this Four Methods of Guidance from our ancestor Dogen from the 13th century. Dogen, considered the founder of the Soto school in Japan. So, Bodhisattva's Four Methods of Guidance. The Bodhisattva's Four Methods of Guidance are giving, kind speech, beneficial action, and identity action. Giving means non-greed. Non-greed means not to covet. Not to covet means not to curry favor. Even if you govern the four continents, you should always convey the correct teaching with non-greed. It is to give away unneeded belongings to someone you don't know, to offer flowers blooming on a distant mountain to the Tathagata, or again, to offer treasures you had in your former life to sentient beings. Whether it is of teaching or of material, each gift has its value and is worth giving. Even if the gift is not your own, there is no reason to keep from giving. The question is not whether the gift is valuable, but whether there is merit. When you leave the way to the way, you attain the way. At the time of attaining the way is always left to the way. When treasure is left just as treasure, treasure becomes giving. You give yourself to yourself and others to others. The power of the causal relations of giving reaches to devas, human beings, and even enlightened sages. When giving becomes actual, such causal relations are immediately formed. And I'll just stop there. So, okay. And this translation that we're using was translated by Lou Richmond and Kazuaki Tanahashi. And as luck would have it, last week I had a chance to meet Kazuaki Tanahashi. He was giving a workshop on calligraphy at the Rhode Island School of Design. And when I've been reading this text, as we've been doing the last few days, his presence appears to me. And I wanted to share a little bit about how he embodied giving and maybe take a little bit from that. So Kazuaki Tanahashi is an old man, and he has very long gray hair and a very long gray beard. And he's very slight. He looks frail. But he was dressed in his black samoe, like I'm wearing, and black pants. And he had a very quiet voice. His English was very good, but his voice was so quiet that you had to pay very careful attention to hear what he was saying. And so everyone was listening very intently to him. And throughout his workshop, which was about calligraphy, he maintained great presence. It's the same presence as each of you now sitting in Zazen. And so as he was demonstrating the brushstrokes for He taught us how to do heaven and earth, the Chinese symbols for heaven and earth. And as he began to demonstrate, I thought for sure he would do one of those quick motions, you know, like the Enso, you see, like the Zen masters just quickly expressing their presence and realization. But instead, he took his brush and he went very slowly, just like one line, then stop the other line with incredible attention to each line that he was drawing. And when he finished, and everyone was paying very close attention to him, he wanted to show people a distinction in what he was doing. So he held up the paper and he says, it's not like this. And so he kind of squinted his eyes and concentrated intently on the paper, you know, as though you would imagine him doing this, being very focused. He said, instead, he raised his arms and he says, the whole universe comes into the brush. So not so much him painting the stroke, but the whole universe was giving to the character of heaven. And then another thing that I took away from that workshop was his advice was to be very careful to spend years and years and years imitating the masters. So no time for self-expression, virtuosity. Instead, spend time following the form of the masters. And seeing him and listening to this advice, I couldn't help but think about how these words that he's translated in the Bodhisattva's Four Methods of Guidance are very similar to and really could be excellent instructions for how we sit zazen, our zazen practice. And so just to go over these a little bit. So in Dogen's text it says, giving means non-greed. So when we sit in zazen, we sit without any thought of attaining. So a spirit of non-greed in our sitting. Non-greed means not to covet. So we sit without comparing, without comparing ourselves to others or comparing ourselves to how we were before or how we might be in the future or whatever idea we might have of what it means to sit. We don't covet any of it. Not to covet means not to curry favor. And it's so much human nature to seek approval of others. We all wish to be confirmed. But this practice is not about someone else's approval. It's not even about our teacher's approval. It is about realizing ourself, our true nature, for ourselves. Then Dogen goes on, even if you govern the four continents, you should always convey the correct teaching with non-greed. So to me this is a call to practice in this way for your entire life. So you become the great Zen master governing the four continents, always returning to this teaching of non-attaining. It is to give away unneeded belongings to someone you don't know. So all of these belongings that we carry around with us, maybe not so much the material ones that aren't so hard to give away. Sometimes the hardest things to give away are the habit patterns that we have, all the ideas of self and other that we have carried around with us since at least our young childhood. Can we give those away and return to what is real and true for us? To offer flowers blooming on a distant mountain to the Tathagata. So whatever insight we might gain from this practice we're engaged in, can we also give that away? Not hold on to that? Returning always to our center, the center of non-attaining. or again to offer treasures you had in your former life to sentient beings, which our bodhisattva vow is to exert our effort to save all beings. Whether it is of teaching or of material, each gift has its value and is worth giving. So every time we return to this moment, to this breath, we are giving something of value, and it is worth giving. Even if the gift is not your own, there is no reason to keep from giving. So the teachings of others that we are so fortunate to be the beneficiaries of, they're not ours, but we can give it to others by our practice, by our commitment. The question is not whether the gift is valuable, but whether there is merit. And we've talked a little bit already this week about that word merit, and really maybe think of it as intention. So really the beautiful intention that we have to practice and to give with non-greed. When you leave the way to the way, you attain the way. And we had a beautiful talk from James Cordova earlier today. We really delved into this sentence. But it reminds me of Dogen's famous teaching, which is practice is enlightenment. Enlightenment is practice. So when we leave the way to the way, when we give ourselves to it, with no expectation of anything in return, we attain the way, and the practice is enlightenment. Thank you. So we say names. So I'm Diane. Melissa.
Steve.
Faye.
Ed. John.
Sandy.
Christine.
Steve.
Tara. Aaron. David. So you can make yourselves comfortable if you like. For our Dharma dialogue. So any questions or comments, observations, whatever's coming up for you, is welcome.
Jealous you got to see Kaz Tanahashi. We have a calligraphy in the parlor, the big circle is one of his calligraphies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the Enso that Diane was talking about, which is also the little circle that's in the Roxas. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah. He said that some people, their practice is to draw one Enso every day. And they've been doing it for 10 years. So they get up, and he says, and they really get to know the circle.
I really like the, I forget the exact words, but giving the flowers on the mountain to the Tathagata. And it's sort of, you know, before that, it's really almost referring to things like, that you could conceive as yours. And that made me really switch over to, oh, actually nothing's mine anyways. It's not like the flowers are mine. It's not like my, you know, ideas are necessarily mine or my clothes are mine. It's just like a really nice abstract way to look at it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he really does sort of switch it around, because usually we think, oh, you can only give what you have. Well, I'll give you my used bicycle or whatever. Yeah. But this idea of giving in this sort of much broader way, not giving like this, well, this is mine, but I'll give you a little bit. but when we really look into it, you know, how can we not give? Yeah, not ours to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Steve.
So I really appreciate how you turned it around. You know, I think of all these, you know, wonderful gifts. You know, what do I have to give? And so this idea of, you know, giving up our cherished opinions and patterns and stresses and ideas of self and all the things we don't like about ourselves and giving those as a gift to the Tathagata, I think that's a lovely image. Thank you for that.
Thank you for bringing the talk about giving to the practice here on the cushion. That was really helpful.
It's very clear this is not abstract, this text by Dogen, though it seems that way when we first started. It's really about what we're doing here in the Sendo and what we're doing as people of the way, as practitioners. So it's nice to have you directly point to that.
The universe, you know, the universe points to these things, and we all sit together and Melissa talks about our neuron reflectors. What are they?
mirror
neurons. Our mirror neurons, yeah. Just, it's such a strong experience sitting with all of you and being informed by and affected by all of you.
That same line that Faye referred to about offering flowers, it also reminds me of, I can't remember if it's in this reading as well, but another Dogen quote about giving yourself to yourself and giving others to others.
Second paragraph.
Okay. Yeah, I love that line too.
You know, that to me, again, that's kind of the same kind of reference, you know, offering flowers on the distant mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of letting things be as they are. And I guess for me, that's really, you know, some of the biggest struggles is, you know, giving others to others, you know,
mm-hmm.
really allowing people to be where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if I think it's wrong, or, you know, so that there's that judgment, you know. So, you know, it's like allowing my children to be children, but then again, allowing me to be the father.
Yeah.
Giving my
yeah.
father to me.
Mm-hmm.
and what that entails. So,
mm-hmm.
I really, you know, like those lines.
Mm-hmm. There's that line about I have no problem with my problems.
Mm.
You know, that's sort of there. Mm. Wait, you were saying right about Katagiri Roshi saying, you know, greed, anger, ignorance, they, you know, they're, we're not going to eliminate them, you know. So, but can we not have a problem with that?
And I like this idea of giving as letting be, you know, rather than well, I, you know, like Steve, you were saying, well, I've got to, you know, what can I give? but the gift of letting people, letting things be as they are, the gift has already happened.
Christine?
Being here yesterday for quite a while and hearing that reading, and when I was talking to you, I was feeling like, I wish I could be here the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were talking about bringing this out into the meeting it with the calamity of work. Mm-hmm. And I discovered today, I think, more than I ever have, how much I changed the world. So letting be what is.
Mm-hmm.
just an awareness of my own being or currying favor changed the world for me. Mm-hmm. So it was actually a gift to go out, and I thought it was a burden for me.
Mm-hmm. But this is where you really get to see, and this is a very important teaching, that every place we go, we're practicing Zen. You know, there's no just Zen in the temple or just Zen in the Zen center. Really, everywhere we go, every moment, we're practicing.
And also it brings into question the self and other.
Yes.
Because it's very clear most of the time that our problems are our boss, our partner, our parents, our, you know, and if only they would change, I would be fine, right? But when we begin to practice this way, we see the potential for transforming the whole world here in, you know, in 10 square feet, in just this place.
And that's heartbreaking in the most wonderful way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and referring to that heartbreaking, you know, that this is about the bodhisattva. And the bodhisattva does, the bodhisattva of compassion hears the sounds of the world and it breaks her heart. You know, there is something about this practice of giving that is so opening. And you can feel it. You could feel it today at work. So.
I was thinking about beings are numberless, I vow to free them, and asking myself sometimes, how could I free something? And when the text was being read, I was thinking, well, the way to free beings is by not turning them into anything. And I especially was thinking about it, the hand, because of the workshop that you gave on the ecology, because when I was driving over, I had my radio on in the car, and they were talking about the Keystone Pipeline, and I was just thinking about how we turn, you know, the earth into things that we want to be, and animals and people and everything, mm-hmm. for a purpose, instead of allowing it to be what it is and allow it, I forget where it is, and some something that I heard here, that it actually is us receiving things instead of projecting onto them, but being enlightened by the many things coming to us.
Yeah.
And that is a way of freeing things, because I suppose our natural relationship is enlightening each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very touching. You know, because you think, when you were talking about, you know, the trees and the animals and, you know, how we do, there's so much greed involved in that, you know, where we don't give them the ability to be as they are, you know.
Or to wake us up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really nice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, these teachings that seem impossible, and say, well, how can you free all beings? There's some truth and some possibility. I mean, Christine, I think that's what you were talking about. How do I save everyone in my workplace?
By not trying.
Yeah, right. By not imagining there's someone to be saved. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, you know, when we were talking about, you know, like, you know, the whole thing about, you know, currying favor, and how, you know, that you mentioned about, you know, we seek this, you know, this confirmation, you know, from, you know, from others. But if we, you know, I don't know, just one thing that struck me is if we see ourselves connected with other people, then we don't necessarily need that confirmation, because we're already, you know, because I think we seek that confirmation when we see ourselves as separate from others. And,
yes.
And it's something that we just, I mean, I know that I do unconsciously, you know, and, you know, and it's all about kind of like, you know, you know, my awareness being a little bit more raised about, you know, how I do that. But if we see ourselves not so separately, then that's not something that we're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you say, it's quite a challenge in those mind moments when we're quite sure that we're separate, because it's quite vivid at times. So how do we meet the vividness of that clenched place and not separate from that? There's the separation, then we want to separate. It was the, you know, the head thing, you know, the head on top, and then the... so, yeah, it's a delusion, but we can't talk ourselves out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can talk, but it doesn't do much
doesn't
good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a very rich text, so
yeah.
Thank you so much. Hopefully we'll all keep talking about it and sitting with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.